And now your speaker is Tom Bratt.
For our reading this morning, I would like to invite you to the second chapter of the book of Genesis. We want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and read through verse 24. And I want to deal with the home as God intended it. The home as God intended it is under attack. It is under attack from every direction that you might look. When you begin to ask man about the home and the various experts that step up, it's interesting to me to realize that many of these experts are not even married. Many of these experts are living with their second, third, or fourth mate. How in the world, then, could they be realized and recognized as experts when they exemplify the idea of failure? We need to go back to the Bible and understand and try to glean together what God has revealed concerning this and strive to the best of our ability to make application wherein it is essential and necessary, to make changes in our lives when these changes are called for because they come from the Word of God. An individual goes out and they spend $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 for a new automobile. And the first thing that they want to do in that new automobile is look at the owner's manual. They want to find out what's the best for that automobile. We need to look at what is the best for this that we call home. Read with me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 and verses following. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh." Moses' account of the creation of this which we call the home or the family flies in the very face of all of the experts as we look from this magazine, from this particular place, or wherever it might be. My friends, we need to realize that the home did not evolve, that it is not something that man labored with over a period of several thousand or several hundred thousands of years. But in the very beginning, when man was created, Genesis chapter 1 to verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." And then in the passage that we have just read, "It is not good for man to be left alone." You go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verses following, you'll find that the Bible reveals that God made man, male and female, created he them. This is the beginning of the first home. A very simple beginning as you look at it, simply that woman was created to be an helpmeet or one that is fitted to help. And certainly he who is the creator of man realizes what is best for man. And may I suggest for you then that it behooves us to look to him who created man that he might tell us what is best for the home. As I look upon the creation as it is revealed in Genesis chapter 1, it impresses me when I realize that all that is recorded therein is for the benefit of man. My friends, the Bible begins, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." I want to emphasize the point that in the beginning, when God began in the beginning, it was for the purpose to create a universe, and within that universe, one planet, wherein His desire to create man would be habitable for mankind. I am convinced that the Bible teaches that God created the universe for the benefit of man. Man is not an afterthought. When God began in the beginning, He understood down yonder, day six, I'm going to create man. But I want to prepare a place for him. I want to make it habitable. I want a place that is ready for man to exist. And when we realize this and read in the Bible of day one, of day two, of day three, for instance, if you read in the second day of creation, He divided the waters that were under the firmament and that were above the firmament for man. Friends, mankind is better than the animals. God looks upon man in a way that He does not look upon any part of His creation. When we look at what the Bible says on the third day, the separation of the waters from the dry land, grass and herb and trees producing seed after its kind, that's for man. We've allowed this evolutionary thinking to enter our mind to a certain degree, though we claim that we believe in God creating man. But we kind of all go along with this evolutionary theory that man was created, that he evolved over, in other words, a mere accident. I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach it. And so we need to understand that when God began in the beginning, He had man in mind, and He said, I'm going to make a place for man. Does that impress you that in order to get this earth, this globe that we call the earth, that God had to create an expanse that we call the universe? Why did He do it? For man. God said, I'm going to put man on that earth, and I'm going to make him intelligent. I'm going to give him the choice between right and wrong. And I'm going to appeal from one side, but you see, he's got to make the choice to serve me. And thus, when we meditate upon this idea, my friends, of the home, we need to understand it's something that's important. It's something that is essential. It is something that is crucial. And it will only work when we go to the manual that talks about it. We need to realize that, friends, because that is the only way we can ever grasp this particular idea. Notice, first of all, that God said, it is not good for man to be left alone. I'll make an help meet for him. And then in verse number 24, He says, therefore, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. When young men and young women come to me and they want counseling relative to a proposed marriage relationship in the near future, you know one of the first things I ask them? Can you get away from your parents? Can you move 500 miles this direction or 500 miles that direction? That's the best thing that can happen for you. A man is to leave his father and his mother. That's what the Bible says. And it is that man and woman are to be together. Isn't it interesting that God made woman from the rib? Now, it has been suggested that the rib was chosen because it was near the heart. That which we commonly refer to as the seat of affections. We know that's not the case, but that's how man thinks. It was not taken from a bone of the foot that man might trample upon her. And it has been suggested it was not taken from his head that she might rule over him, but from his heart, near his heart, that she might be that object of love, that she might be that object of desire, of protection and security, that indeed she might be the queen of the home. Oh, my friends, I know the Bible tells, and we're going to be studying this. So many people have a misconception about this. They say the Bible demeans women. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a society where the Bible has not gone? I want to ask you a second question. If you have, how is the woman treated? There are some areas in the world today, my friends, when you go, the woman does not walk beside her husband. She walks several paces behind. She is looked upon as no better than cattle. She is looked upon as no better than that which is a possession. I own that. I possess that. Love and compassion is not even a part of the equation. But where the Bible has gone, my friends, the woman has been elevated to the proper place. Man realizes that indeed she is that special helpmeet. And when you meditate upon this, you begin about the third day of creation. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says God saw that it was good? Day four, and God saw that it was good. Day five, and God saw that it was good. Day six, after the creation of man and woman, and behold, it was very good. Why do you think Moses changed the words there? Because God was preparing a place for man. And for day six, He has created the man. He has completed what He wanted to do. And all the magnificence and the creative power in the universe and in this thing that we call the earth, it was to make a habitable place for man, that man might prepare himself to be in eternity with Jehovah. I'm a strong believer in the fact, as goes the home, so goes the nation. You show me the homes of a nation, my friends, and I'll show you the kind of nation that they exist in. You show me the feelings of the family relationship in generally in any society, and I can tell you what that society is. As goes the home, so goes the nation. But you know, anything that is worthwhile has foundations, regardless of what it is. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the pillar and the ground of the faith. The faith of Jesus Christ has certain things that stand as the pillar, and upon that, the ground upon which the pillar stands. You can go off down in the state of Louisiana and get on Interstate 10 and head east, and you come across a bridge that is 19 miles long. You can go out to San Francisco and you can cross what is called the Golden Gate Bridge. But there is something, my friends, that even outshines the Golden Gate Bridge, at least in my mind, and that is the bridge from Oakland to San Francisco. It is a double-decker bridge and it has 6, 7, 8, or 9 lanes going each direction, one on top of the other. You talk about an engineering feat. And you go to the various cities and you find huge, monstrous buildings. Everything has a foundation. So does the home. And that is the Word of God and all that God has said. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." My friends, that principle is applicable to that which we call the home. If you don't believe that's true, what kind of society would you and I enjoy in the United States of America today if all we had was the communal home? A commune where men and women interact, where you have children that don't even know who their father is. They have to survive in a relationship where there is no fatherly guidance and sometimes no motherly love. What kind of nation would we have? What if we had lesbian homes where there is no man? What if we had fatherless homes? What if we had homosexual homes? The one-parent home. And my friends, we have a lot of that. Now, I understand sometimes there are situations arise that it cannot be helped. But I would encourage each and every one of our young people to think very seriously when they begin dating, when they begin thinking about this thing that we call marriage, that God intended for it to be for life. One man for one woman for life. That's a foundation stone. My friends, you show me a home where there is kindness, gentleness, love, compassion, and I will show you children that indeed might evidence the same characteristics. You show me a home that evidences the idea of hatred for their fellow man, of constant suspicion, of jealousy, of unkindness, of rebellion, of gossip. And I will show you, children, that in all probability, that some, if not all, will be of the same character. Show me a dedicated Christian home, and I will show you children that have an excellent possibility of showing the same qualities. The home is the foundation of any society, and the home itself has foundations, my friend, and that foundation is God and His Word. But thirdly, what is God's intention for the home? What's God's design for the home? Well, let's look at this very hurriedly and notice some things that I think the Bible teaches very clearly. There are some things that God wanted the home to do. First of all, there is the realization of the biological needs that are satisfied. I'm sorry that our young people are being raised in this sex-drenched society that we have today. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, the clothes, the various things that we see, wherever they are, it's focused on the idea of drawing attention to the human anatomy. The home is up in total disarray on television. Wherever you look, you see the idea of a focus, a one focus, a tunnel vision on the idea of sex, which is nothing but a degradation of that which God intended. Sexual desires are normal. God placed them in man for a reason. But we need to understand that God also said there are certain limits to where these can be realized. And my friends, that is only in the marriage relationship. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. Notice what Paul says, and he is talking about this very thing. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. My friends, we are living in a society that presents the idea that promiscuity is something that is acceptable. But it ruins physically, it ruins emotionally, it ruins morally, and it ruins religiously. My friends, God has placed the satisfaction of these biological needs, and these desires are normal, they're natural. Keep this in mind. Young people, you have desires, or you will have desires. They are placed there by God for a reason. God has also placed certain limitations there where they can be realized and fulfilled. And that's in the marriage relationship. No other place. Extramarital relationships, premarital relationships are sin in the sight of God. We need to understand that. Regardless of what society would tell you today, it is not the going thing. It is not the proper thing to hold up a life that is marred with the various things that society tries to justify. May I encourage you, let's look to the book. Let's look to the Bible. Secondly, we might mention the idea of intimate relationships or companionship. In a short, love. When a man and a woman enters into the marriage relationship, if it is properly entered into, if there are the proper goals, the proper desires, if everything is right, my friends, it's the greatest relationship, and it's the closest relationship that you will ever enter. There is no person alive upon this earth that is as close to me as is my wife. Oh, I love my daddy. I love my mama, and there's hardly a day goes by. Mom has been gone some 37 years. Dad has been gone over 20 years. Seldom a day goes by that I do not think of mama and daddy. But there's somebody closer to me than mama and daddy. Janie and I have been privileged with two children, Tom Jr. and Michelle. Oh, I love my children. I love my grandchildren. They're very near and they're very dear to me. But there is somebody in this world that is nearer and dearer to me than my children and my grandchildren. And that is the one who is my wife. There is an intimate companionship that is there. Certainly we are to love our children. We are to love our siblings. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3, as he's talking about these things are going to manifest themselves to those who turn their back upon God. Notice one of these, 2 Timothy 3 verse 3, without natural affection. Please meditate on that just a moment. Without natural affection. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, for this is the first commandment with promise. You go back to Exodus chapter 20 and begin reading the unveiling of the Ten Commandments. And there is that charge given that the father, child is to give honor to the father and mother. And then he says, and thy days shall be long upon this land that I give unto thee. What happens to a society when there is not this natural affection? When there is not this honor and this respect for your father and for your mother and for your siblings, what happened? Without natural affection. When a society reaches that, my friends, they're more than on the slippery slope of destruction, but they've already gone, and there is no turning back. Another thing that I would suggest, security. A child that is taunted at school, a child that is having conflicts at school, a child that is doing this, a husband on the job, a mother on the job, whatever it might be. There's a safety, there's a refuge, there's a place of security, and it's called home. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. My friends, I was fortunate. I guess I was a protected child. All of my thoughts of back years ago, if I could remember back that far when I was a small child, all of my thoughts of home life were good. Oh, my daddy and mama got on me several times. I understand that. But I think it is sad. I think it is atrocious that so many young people now can look at that which they call home, and to them it is something that is antagonistic. Something that they really want no part of. You see, my friends, when Satan begins to work on the society, he works in so many different ways, from so many different avenues. But there is this security, this place, my friends, that you can go. It's called home. And sad it is, the individual that does not have that particular aspect of what God wanted. What about recreation? When families get together for times of recreating themselves physically and mentally, I understand that in the hurry, scurry, and the hustle and bustle of our society in which we live, when fathers and mothers are doing everything that they can to make ends meet, I understand that it becomes hectic. But there are those times when as a family you can enjoy a period of time together to relax and to recreate recreation. God designed the home for that, my friends. It's the greatest institution other than the Lord's church that will ever be. The home is of divine origin. It didn't involve... It didn't just happen. It is not something that man over a period of times after he evolved from mother monkey just simply say, you know, it might be good if husband and wife got together. No. God said it's not good for man to be left alone. I'll make an helpmeet for him. And I think it's interesting as I meditate upon that, and it says all of the animals were brought before Adam. And whatsoever name that Adam called them, that was the name of that particular animal. But interestingly, the Bible says there was not found an helpmeet for Adam. Why do you think the Bible says that? Are we to assume that God was going to try to get Adam to accept one of these animals that He had already created? I don't think so. I want to suggest for your consideration that it was an illustration. It was a lesson to Adam. Adam, what I've got in mind for you, that helpmeet and all of this creation that I've already created, there's nothing that is suitable. It's going to take a special act of creation of Jehovah God. It's something special I've got planned for you, Adam. But I want to drive this point home. I want you to realize it, that she is special. Oh, my friends, a home can be a haven, it can be a rest, or it can be a place of absolute disgust. It's a divine institution. It's the first one that God set into motion. Monogamy, that's the nature of it. That is, one husband, one wife. Not two husbands and one wife. Not one husband and two wives. Not two men. Not two women. But man and woman. Based upon 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. It's procreative in design. God said when He made man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply. That's one of the designs of the home, my friends. To have children, to bring children into this world. It is patriarchal in government, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. It is religious in nature. God wants us to worship Him. The home, marriage, husband and wife, it's special. It's privileged. It's something that God designed for man. And may I encourage each and every one of you, do not take it lightly. Look to the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. The home as God intended it.